Keeping Afloat by cruise director Kabir. In order to have the best listening experience, make sure to use headphones or a high-fidelity sound system. We've added some incredible sound effects from parties in the atrium to conversations in the martini bar or the crew bar to answering a phone call. Hello, cruise director.
It'll feel like you're right there on board the ship.
So make sure to use headphones. Enjoy the show. Welcome to Keeping Afloat, Season 2, Episode 8. I'm Kabir, and I am your cruise director. In this episode, we've got some heavy seas, a new itinerary, and my first time hosting the Love and Marriage show. Thanks so much for being here and giving this episode a listen. It means a lot to me. When I was cruise director, I acted as the main host and the head of entertainment aboard the ships that I sailed upon. This is my story. Join me as we navigate through some of the situations I found myself in as I was becoming a cruise director. Just a quick disclaimer, while this show is based on my experience, some situations may have been modified for entertainment purposes. The names of the original characters have been changed for privacy. The accents in this show are for dramatic and character identification purposes only, and they're not intended to offend anyone. And finally, the views expressed in this show are mine and not that of any brand that I'm associated with. Just a little while ago, I cruised aboard Viking Octantis in the Great Lakes. I was invited by Viking to sail with them, and I couldn't have been more delighted to go. I was blown away by the ship, and I actually made a video all about it on my YouTube, which is called Travel with Kabir CD. There's a link down in the show notes. We sailed all the way from Milwaukee to Thunder Bay, and it was just epic to say the least. Now, this wasn't a cruise ship, it's an expedition ship with a built-in science lab and even two submarines, which I got to take a ride on. I also sailed aboard Freedom of the Seas, my first post-pandemic cruise, and made a video about that too. What an impact that it made on me. I really miss ships. Those were both ships that were on my cruise bucket list, truly a dream come true. Now, thinking back to dreams come true, I have a brilliant show for you today. But before we do that, let's take a quick recap, because it's been a couple of months. It's mid-2017, and I've just had my first cruise as cruise director. We missed port due to a medical emergency, and there was an onboard riot. Plus, I met a guest that I really connected with, but we stayed professional. Now, this was only the beginning. This cruise, things were changing. Daryl, the hotel director, made some bad calls, and as a result, he was on his way out, and a new hotel director would be doing a handover. Elliot, the entertainment director, was about to disembark as well, and he was going to be replaced by a new entertainment director. Justin Delaney, my boss from head office, was also coming on board. Plus, I got to meet my mentor, Angie, for the very first time in years. The ship's itinerary was a completely different one. Key West and Cozumel, and things were about to get rocky in more ways than one. Oceanic Euphoria is encountering rough seas and a lot of personalities. On top of that, we've got an interview with a good friend of the podcast, Emma from Emma Cruises, about her time as a travel blogger and a cruise expert. So that's coming up later on at the end of the show. But now we're heading to the atrium of Oceanic Euphoria. Picture it. It's formal nights, and the ship's senior officers are about to be introduced. And with that, let's cast off. The atrium of the Oceanic Euphoria was buzzing with energy. It was formal night on my second cruise as cruise director on board. And since last cruise had some issues, this was my first officer's introductions. Now, these events are some of the hardest to execute because every single officer has their preference, and they're also all watching. The captain wants things done one way, while the hotel director or the cruise director have their system. It's a classic too many cooks in the kitchen type of scenario. In this case, the officers were hidden on deck 6 behind the grand staircase while the entertainment team went around to take roll call. The usual crowd was the captain, staff captain, chief engineer, doctor, hotel director, entertainment director, food and beverage director, and the chief housekeeper. And of course, the cruise director. It was a high-pressure environment, but I was ready. Before I knew it, my host was introducing me. Good evening. Please welcome to the stage your host, cruise director Kabir. I walked to my part of the stage and looked out, and as usual, the atrium was packed, with guests lining every single overlook from deck 7 all the way up to deck 11. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It gives me great pleasure to introduce you to my colleagues, the senior officers of the Oceanic Euphoria. As I worked my way down the list, I finally got to the captain. And now, the man who's in charge of it all, please welcome the master and commander of the Oceanic Euphoria, Captain Ricardo Russo. Thank you, and everyone, the man in charge of making sure you all have a good time, a big applause for Cruise Director Kabir! Once the event was all done, I spoke to a few guests in the atrium. Destiny, the guest services manager, came over and invited me to join the senior officers for their formal night drink. It was a tradition for everyone, including the captain, and they were headed to the martini bar on deck 7 aft. Relationships on ships are everything. Maintaining a good rapport with the captain and the fellow officers is essential to making sure that your department runs smoothly. And it helps you personally as well. So this, for me, was an investment into my time on board and the smoothness of the entertainment product and all of the events I'd be hosting. As I reached the staircase with Destiny, Justin's arm grabbed mine, and he said, hello, where do you think you're going, hun? Justin Delaney was my shoreside boss, and he happened to be on board for this cruise. I'd met him earlier that day, where he'd given me a list of things to do that was 3 pages long. There was a massive emphasis on me being out and about all the time speaking to guests, which I had been doing. He'd come on board with the new entertainment director, a Canadian woman named Carly. Now, whenever he was around, I felt a ton of pressure. Justin was previously a cruise director before working in head office. He was also responsible for getting me hired. Work-wise, though, I always felt like he was hard on me. You have to socialize with guests, so go out and do that. Go to the promenade, go walk around, no drinks with the officers. I just blinked and said, all right. I guess I had to walk down the promenade anyway to get to the bar. It took about 15 minutes since I was stopping along the way, but I finally made it to the martini bar on deck 7 aft. And again, there was Justin. Don't even think about sitting there with them. You're busy. Justin, I've been out all day speaking to people. I've done just that, and I think showing face with the ship's senior leadership looks really good for me and for the guests to see me with them. So I'm gonna go sit there. Justin looked infuriated, but I stuck to my guns. Ships are a highly political environment, so making sure that I was positioned in a way where I could at least have some sort of status was important. Just as I arrived, Captain Ricardo patted the seat next to him. Ah, Kabir, we got you a drink. Come, welcome. Just to note, Captain Ricardo was drinking sparkling apple juice. The following morning, Oceanic Euphoria was about to arrive into the port of Cozumel, a small island just south of Cancun and across from Playa del Carmen. What was extremely special about today was that I was finally going to meet my mentor, Angie. Angie was the cruise director on a cruise that I had taken years ago and had helped me in getting hired at my original cruise line. Now, almost 3 years later, I was meeting her after becoming a cruise director myself. There's actually a restaurant in Cozumel, Pancho's, that gives free meals to cruise directors in exchange for a little bit of promotion on board. Pancho's is a gorgeous spot on the opposite side of the pier in Cozumel, overlooking the water with a stunning view of the ship.
Kabir, it's been too long. How's it going, cruise director?
Angie was 5'10", blonde, and stunning. Her energy is what made me want to become cruise director in the first place. The last time I had physically seen her was on board when we were cruising. We jumped right in. There was a lot to unpack. The thing about Angie is that she knew a lot. She'd been at sea for quite a long time, and she'd also worked for a number of different cruise lines. Her advice was sound. Focus on what's going on aboard the ship. Satisfy shoreside when they're on board, but once you're on your own, make sure you have a good relationship with the onboard team. I remember feeling a ton of pressure at this time in my career. I had to do right by Justin Delaney and also stand up for myself at the same time. The ship also had a completely different leadership structure than it had before, with Elliot, the entertainment director, being added into the mix. Plus, there was going to be a change of entertainment director and hotel director coming up. But nothing was going to prepare me for the rough seas that Oceanic Euphoria was about to experience. As I walked up to the gangway, I saw Elliot standing there with all of his bags. I went up to him and stuck my hand out. "Hey, thanks for everything. All the best." Elliot looked up and said,
"You too. And for the record, man, you're good at what you do. Take care."
Despite our differences, Elliot was a decent guy. Looking back, it's funny how the quote-unquote power can go to someone's head. There's something about being on a ship following a military-esque structure and being in charge that really can mess with you. Elliot was definitely a victim of that. With Elliot gone, that meant that Carly had already taken over as entertainment director. The thing about this whole entertainment director position, though, was they took people that had no experience and just bumped them up over much more experienced cruise directors, effectively promoting what was the assistant cruise director to the rank above cruise director. It was a bizarre system, and not one that I really agreed with. In this case, Carly was about my age and had previously worked for Ocean Cruise Line as the onboard media manager under the cruise director, responsible for writing the onboard ship's newsletter and handling all of the digital and print communications with guests while they were on board. As I walked toward my cabin on deck 11, I found Justin from head office waiting at my door.
"Good, I was just about to knock. Do you want to go meet Carly, the new entertainment director?"
I remember being so excited for this moment.
"I think you two will get on quite well. She's Canadian."
As we walked into the entertainment director's cabin, I was introduced to a tall, 5'10" blonde woman who must have been just a few years older than I was, maybe 25, 26.
"I'm Carly. I hear you're from Toronto."
She was super sweet, and now the total number of Canadians on board was 3. Later that evening, I took Carly to the crew bar to meet with my friend Audrey. On this ship, the crew bar was located on deck 7 forward. Now, the bar itself was inside. However, the entire bow of the ship was part of the crew bar, kind of like an exterior balcony. The walls, though, were about 7 foot tall, so you couldn't quite see over into the ocean. You could definitely hear it. And that was one of those moments where I felt a sense of relief and reminded myself where I was. I could hear the ocean rushing past, the gentle sway of the ship, plus I was slightly buzzed. I was so relieved that Elliot was gone. Being able to work with Carly was going to be so much nicer, I could already feel it. But this whole experience was like whack-a-mole. Once I solved one issue, a new one popped up. Change was in the air. At least, that's what seemed to be the trend. I realized this as I sat across from Destiny, the ship's guest relations officer. She was a friend of mine from my previous ship and happened to also be on board Euphoria. As the ship's guest relations officer, she had a massive job. She was in charge of guest services, not just the desk, but also coordinating embarkation, disembarkation, and really, she was the right hand of the hotel director, and also next in line for the position. Just about everything that happened in the hotel department went through her. And that also meant that she was up on all of the gossip. Destiny's office, though, was interesting because it actually had two doors. The main entry point was through the back office of guest services, and then there was another door that led straight into the corridor. Why it was like that, I have no idea. There were no windows, but there was a huge desk with ample storage and room for a few pictures on the wall. I zoned out for a minute, but I seemed to pay attention at the exact right time.
"Kabir, you have no idea. Daryl has me doing all of his dirty work."
Daryl, the hotel director, could be a little bit high maintenance. He'd been at sea for a long time, like 30 years. Plus, he had a bit of a reputation.
He's got me emailing his wife saying that she doesn't need to come on board the ship since he's got a private taxi booked for him to go back to his condo in Miami.
Oh? His wife lives right in Miami?
Oh yeah, you can see the condo straight from the port. Plus, he wants a few extra hours with Tanya.
Tanya was a Kazakhstani guest services associate. She was 25, 5'5", and gorgeous. Quite the contrast to Daryl, who was 55, overweight, and slightly unkempt, and despite his high rank, always had a very, very worn out pair of running shoes on. Baffling.
Tanya's been a wreck ever since his contract was cut short.
What do you mean, cut short? Destiny stopped typing and turned her desk chair to face me. Leaning in, she said,
Captain Ricardo can't stand Daryl. He thinks he's a liability. Daryl got drunk last cruise and played Nicky Nicky Nine Door down the senior officer's corridor.
That's hilarious. Also, this guy's in charge of evacuating the ship in an emergency, so I can see how that's an issue. That meant that there would be a huge leadership change for the ship in Miami, and it was happening very suddenly. The swapping out of the chief engineer and hotel director was a lot of change all at the same time. And that meant for a lot of uncertainty ahead, especially with rough seas.
By that evening, the seas had picked up and an email was sent out from the bridge, followed by an announcement from the captain.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the captain from the bridge. As you may have noticed, the weather has picked up. We are encountering some movement at this time. This is just a reminder to exercise caution as you move about the ship. We are expecting the seas to pick up until about 9 p.m. tonight and settle before about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning prior to our arrival into Key West.
This was not a good sign, especially since we had the production show that featured a series of tall stairs that were used during the performance. I picked up my phone and gave Carly, the entertainment director, a call. Hey, I think we need to decide what to do with the show.
I agree. Let's call Ellie, the dance captain, and we'll meet in your cabin.
Within a few minutes, Carly, Ellie, the dance captain, and I were sitting in my cabin, which, by the way, was not really fit for department meetings. It was a nice, larger room, but didn't have the same separate office that the entertainment director's room had.
I think we should cancel,
Ellie said, sitting on the foot of my bed.
I agree,
both Carly and I said in unison.
Right, let's call Daryl.
I ended up dialing the hotel director's number and was under the impression immediately that he was occupied.
Yeah, hotel director.
Daryl, it's Kabir. I'm here with Carly and the dance captain, Ellie.
Yeah, I don't need your life story. Cut to the chase.
Okay. Well, the seas are picking up and the show has high sets and some acrobatics, and we're out of time to reblock, so I think we should cancel the shows and do an acoustic version instead.
Are you nuts? That's not the product. We perform it either way, high seas or not. The cast is trained for that.
Ellie, the dance captain, piped up.
It puts the cast at risk of injury.
Nobody's gonna get hurt. They can just stop dancing if they feel like it's dangerous. I don't see the problem.
All three of us rolled our eyes and quickly hung up. I thought quickly to come up with a solution.
Okay, listen, here's what we're going to do. I can push the start of the show by 15 minutes if you can reblock some of the flips and maybe not use the stairs. We've got 2 hours from this point. Can we do it?
Ellie thought for a moment, looking between Carly and I, and said,
All right, let's give it a shot then.
Ellie walked out, presumably to go straight to the theater to reblock part of the show. A reblock is basically modifying the structure of a dance or a performance, and it's often done if there's a dancer out or there's a hazard they're trying to avoid. Carly stayed in my room, eventually flopping on my bed.
What if someone gets hurt? It's on us.
I nodded in agreement. As it stands, yes, but we need to make sure that we document this. I'm going to write him an email explaining the situation and recounting the conversation, and then he's going to have to respond since I'm going to ask him to confirm and CC the captain.
You're really into this whole leadership thing and playing the game, eh?
I had drafted an email and had it sent just a few minutes later, and this was based on my previous knowledge coming to fruition. Cover your own butt and play both sides. As Carly stood to leave, she said,
"He was probably in the middle of chilling with his ship girlfriend. Do you know that guy told me he'd be leaving in Miami because he needed to spend more time with his wife? I doubt that."
Ship style. I guess that was the name of the game. But, poor leadership aside, I didn't realize that it wouldn't be our cast that couldn't handle the weather. It would be the ship itself. After a power nap and the obligatory espresso shot and a little bit of vodka, I was ready to go. The ship had already began moving quite a bit more than it had been earlier, with some noticeable creaking in my cabin. Plus, being on Deck 11, you feel everything a little bit more. It also made walking down to Deck 7 pretty difficult. As I left my cabin, I felt my phone buzz. I had gotten an Instagram message from Eric, the cute guest that I had met on the previous cruise. "Hey, I got hired as crew staff. Not sure what ship I'm on yet." Deep down, I was excited. There was always a part of me that was looking for love on every ship that I went on, so I remember thinking, okay, maybe this is a shot. Still trying to manage my expectations, though. I responded right away. "That's so exciting. Hope it's euphoria." The theater had a staircase in it, right at the back, that faced the stage and connected Deck 7 to Deck 8. Directly next to that, kind of under it almost, is where myself and the crew staff would generally stand. This time though, I took the cruise director mic and I moved to one of the booths toward the front left of the stage. Carly and Audrey, my friend from the shops, had noticed me and followed me there. I had a weird feeling. The ship pitched and rolled more and more violently as the show grew closer and closer. By 8 p.m, the lights dimmed in the Oceanic Theater and the show began. The singers and dancers twirled out as the lights and the LED wall was illuminated. Now, performing in heavy seas wasn't actually a huge issue. In fact, it's something that they went over in rehearsals. Some shows actually had a heavy seas protocol, a way to perform the show with less risk of injury in heavy seas. For example, they'd cut out any aerial moves, dynamic jumps, and stunts. The cast did a phenomenal job, until the part of Bohemian Rhapsody where it goes, "Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very striking me," where all of the dancers band together and do a series of jazz squares. At that point, the ship quickly descended, startling everyone. As the ship dropped down and shuddered, it then shot back up aggressively, causing a large rattle and a portion of the ceiling panel to detach and hit one of the dancers in the head with a large pang. The music continued for a moment, and then the dancer fell. Dominic, another dancer, went up to Larissa to help her just as the ship shuddered and lurched back up again, causing the next panel to unlatch and fall on his head. I was standing right beside the stage wing and ran up the stairs with Carly in tow. "Show stop, lights up, we should evacuate." The production manager nodded. I turned to Carly and said, "Call medical," and then I ran out onto the stage. Dancers were already escorting the two injured dancers off stage. I stood off to the opposite side, further from the stage's edge, as that portion of the stage had lighting racks rather than panels. Ladies and gentlemen, as you've noticed, we've had to stop the show as the safety of our performers and audiences is our top priority. I was then cut off by an announcement from the bridge.
"Medical response team, medical response team, Oceanic Theatre, Deck 7, forward, backstage. Medical response team, Oceanic Theatre, Deck 7, backstage."
As you can tell, we have a bit of a situation. With a creak, I looked up to see another panel coming loose. The ship was literally falling apart. All right, everyone, in an orderly fashion, we are going to leave the theater, starting with those in the front rows. The front three rows, please follow our crew staff out. Everything is going to be totally fine. We just need to ensure that we can account for all of our performers and assess the ceiling. Just as the third row emptied, two more panels crashed to the floor, causing a panic and for everyone to stand up and run. Within minutes, the theater was empty, leaving myself,
Carly, Audrey, and the production team there. Just then, the production manager, Darlene, an American woman from New Orleans, walked up to the fallen panel and said, "Well, crap." Carly said, "I'm so glad you sent that email." Larissa and Dominic, the two dancers that were hurt by the ceiling panels, were relatively fine. No cuts, just bumps, and luckily, no concussion. As I walked back to my cabin to check my email, I noticed that Daryl had responded before the show had started, shortly after I sent the email.
"Yeah, sounds good. Everything's gonna be fine."
I just rolled my eyes. "Hello, cruise director."
"Hey, I heard. Is the cast okay?"
Destiny, the ship's guest relations officer, was always up to date on what was happening. "Yeah, thank goodness."
"Okay, good. Listen, hon, I'm leaving in Miami. Ship transfer. But you're gonna love my replacement."
This was shocking. Destiny was my one comfort on board. It would be odd with a whole new person there. And the handover was in 2 short days. I ran back down to the promenade and around to the theater to speak to guests, especially after this whole incident. Hopefully it would give someone comfort. As I was speaking with a couple from Fort Lauderdale, Justin, my boss from the office, pulled me by the arm and moved me aside.
"Well, hello. What are you doing here?"
Speaking to guests, especially after that incident. He looked down and then back up at me. "No. You're going to go to the bridge and make an announcement. Figure out what is happening for the second show. I'm meeting Carly in 15 minutes after she speaks with Daryl and the captain. I thought that was her job." "No, you're the voice. Go upstairs now. Hurry up." I guess after all, I was still doing it wrong, apparently. Running up to the bridge in heavy seas was no easy feat, because the higher you go, the more movement there was. Captain Ricardo and Carly were trying to keep their balance.
"Kabir, we were about to call you."
Where's the hotel director?"
"Ha."
The captain scoffed, and Carly laughed amongst the creaking of the ship.
"He's drunk."
My eyebrows shot up.
"Drunk? Kabir, you will learn this. There are people that are not meant to be leaders, but they end up there somehow. Don't worry, he's leaving in Miami."
Carly chimed in.
"So, I think we should make an announcement about the show and cancel the second one, given everything that happened. The ceiling's definitely not going to be repaired. But it could be fun to do Love and Marriage in its place. We could do it in the aft lounge. The ship is still busy. People are still out."
She was right. During my walk on the promenade, the ship was buzzing, and people wanted to be distracted. This would also be my first time hosting the infamous Love and Marriage show, which I was really excited about. When I first began cruising, I remember watching the cruise director host the Love and Marriage show. It was a staple of the whole cruise experience. Immediately, I made the announcement with the captain and then started preparing. The way that Ocean Cruise Line played the game was by setting up 3 sets of 2 chairs, each in a pair, and the chairs faced away from one another. There would be a clipboard, pencil, and question sheet on each chair. Each question sheet was the exact same, so the goal for each couple was to ensure they wrote the same answer to the same questions. For example, what was your first date, or how did you first meet? This version of the game was different from what I had known previously, but luckily I had seen Maxime, the previous cruise director, host the game, and I was familiar with it.
"Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the aft lounge. And now, please welcome to the stage your host, your cruise director, Kabir!" "Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Let's go ahead and get this game started. We need a couple that's been together for 35 years or more."
To this day, that is one of my favorite game shows to host. If and when I ever go back to being cruise director, wink wink, I will always make sure that it's on my schedule. After the game show, I was exhausted.
The entire day had been such a runaround. The following day, we were going to be in one of my favorite ports, Key West. And as quickly as it all started, this cruise would finally be coming to a close. Key West is the southernmost point of Florida and lies just 90 miles off the coast of Cuba. Key lime pie and just a chill vibe make it one of my absolute favorite ports. I'd always love it when I'd be on a ship that was going there. However, Key West also had very strict times that the ship could dock there. You can't block the sunrise or the sunset, and most ships have to sail by about 2 p.m. in order to avoid extra taxes and fees. These rules mostly have to do with the hotels that are right across from the pier. Now, personally, I would pay extra for a cruise ship view, but I am a bit of an anomaly. After enjoying an afternoon of walking around, having lunch, and just decompressing, I headed back on board the ship to prepare for our big welcome back. It was something that the entertainment team would do at the gangway in order to welcome guests back on board. Play music, sing, dance. Personally, I always felt like it was a bit gimmicky, but it always turned out to be a ton of fun, and it gave me an awesome workout. Since we had the whole afternoon on board, there was also a full afternoon of activities and games up on the pool deck, and for the very first time, I did my signature Bollywood dance class, something that I had always wanted to do. It ended up going so well. Tons of guests got up, and I got some great FaceTime with them. Even Justin, my boss from the office, was impressed and felt comfortable leaving me on board. The final day of the cruise was always critical in terms of ensuring that guests were completely satisfied and gave us good ratings in the post-cruise survey. By that evening, I was standing on the bar in the atrium for the big farewell sing-along party. As I looked out, I was reminded that all of the stress and hard work was worth it. We just created a bunch of new holiday memories for these people. The following day, this cruise would be ending and a whole new adventure would begin. And that included a new hotel director, as well as Ethan, a guest that had been on board just a few weeks ago, and now joining the ship as a crew member. Plus, Destiny, the guest services manager, would be signing off, and her replacement would be coming aboard. And he turned out to be interesting, to say the least. This is now a series of perplexing personalities, and so, so much more, next time. Until then, it's all about keeping afloat. I'm Kabir, your cruise director. Thank you so much for listening. And now stay tuned because we have an exclusive interview with Emma Cruises coming up. Thanks for tuning in to Keeping Afloat. I've got a really cool person here on the show and one of my favorite YouTubers, Emma from Emma Cruises. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm just glad that we finally get to speak. We've been emailing now for a couple of months, and I just decided to propose this idea. I'm glad it worked out. And we're both cruise fanatics, so That's always a great place to start. Now, I wanted to ask a little bit about you. When did you start to give cruise advice?
To be honest, I took my first cruise when I was 11. And I think since I was 11, I've been giving out cruise advice, whether people wanted it or whether they didn't. You know, going back to school and saying, oh, I've been hanging out with Americans, people from Canada. I thought I was so unbelievably cool when I was a teenager. But I cruise maybe, I don't know, once every 2 or 3 years, my family would do a cruise. So I knew that cruising was something that I liked and something I thought was fun. Then when I was about, I think maybe 19, I tried to take my friends on a cruise for the first time. And I just got met with this wall of things. They would say, oh, isn't that really formal? Isn't that really boring? And I had never even considered that people thought things like that, because I'd always cruise with Norwegian Cruise Line or MSC, the really kind of casual ones. And it blew my mind that there were people out there who genuinely thought, you know, I had friends who thought that there would be big communal toilets on each deck. They didn't know that each cabin had its own bathroom. So that's kind of, you know, and why would they know? They've never seen inside a cruise ship. But I decided to kind of start writing. A couple of years afterwards, I started my YouTube channel, and I have never stopped. I just want everyone to enjoy it as much as we do.
Oh, absolutely. I used to have the similar comments from people, but I wanted to know, what was your first ship that you sailed on?
So I did Norwegian Spirit. I started in Alaska, starting very strong. I haven't been back to Alaska since, so that's something I definitely like to do. But yes, I started with Norwegian most of my teenage years. No dress codes, no formal nights, nothing like that. Then I took a Cunard cruise. That's kind of what kick-started me starting a website, because I sat on that Cunard cruise, which is very, very, very formal. Cunard is as close to the modern Titanic as you can get. And I thought, what is this? I was not prepared for this. So my first post, I think, was 6 things you need to know before you cruise with Cunard, something like that. And it's gone from there, because if you are someone who wants to do that, those cruise lines exist. Or if you're someone who doesn't want to, there's so much choice. And that's what I try and get across.
Wow. Okay. The modern day Titanic is a great word for it. I've yet to sail on Queen Mary 2, but mm-hmm. Norwegian Spirit was actually my 4th cruise out of New York City. Oh, so, yeah, it was a great ship. Actually, what I realized about it was you saw its influence from Star Cruises on it with a lot mm-hmm. of the decor. I'm not sure mm-hmm. if they've even managed to change all of it still.
I think they did a big refit just before the pandemic, because I went on in 2019 and I filmed like a before ship tour, planning to get back on board after they'd changed everything. And then obviously the industry shut down. But they did used to have in all the cabins, they'd have the pictures that had, you know, superstar Leo on them. But they've ripped out all of the water fountains and everything like that now. They've made it, you know how Norwegian cruise ships, like big TV screens, and it's yeah. much more Norwegian now. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm excited to sail back upon her. Actually, I have a very good friend that was cruise director of her quite a little while ago. Now, speaking of this, do you remember your favorite cruise director? And does a cruise director impact your cruise in any way, personally?
Mm-hmm. So I think, for me, sometimes I don't notice a cruise director. It doesn't damage my cruise experience. But when you have a good one, you really remember them, and it enhances your cruise. There's some cruise lines I go on, I have no idea. I could not name you an MSC cruise director at all. I never could. But the cruise directors on cruise lines like Royal Caribbean, I just got off of Anthem of the Seas. There was a man called Joff on there. He was absolutely amazing. The British cruise line Mirella, there's one cruise director called Adam. He springs to mind. He's been on TV recently, actually. He's a very interesting guy. But it is nice when you see kind of a recognizable face. I think for me, that's what a cruise director is. Someone who's friendly. I like to see, you know, the cruise director out and about. You can ask them any questions. When cruise directors sleep, I honestly have no idea. It blows my mind.
We don't.
I was going to say, because on the odd occasion where I get up early, maybe one day a week, they're there. When I go to bed, everyone's still up. You know, even on Royal Caribbean, it's in the cabins. Even if you're in your cabin by yourself, you can put on the TV and you can watch the cruise director. So I think that's why on Royal Caribbean, I really kind of remember Joff, because he was absolutely everywhere. He was fantastic.
Aw, you know what? I will say there are secrets to the trade, but I don't know if I can reveal them on air. There's very strategic ways to get around that. So what is the oldest ship that you have ever sailed upon?
Mm-hmm. So I think it is what is now the Celestial Olympia, who was a Royal Caribbean ship from the 1980s. And it's so interesting to me because I've cruised on Royal Caribbean ships from the 90s all the way up to, I think, Anthem of the Seas is my newest. But that difference in those 10 years in cruise ship design was so strange for me to kind of go backwards. Because on the 1980s cruise ship, you would be walking along and then it would just go down like half a step, or like it was all kind of up and down, very vibrate-y. It was fantastic. It didn't have a theatre or anything like that. But I think that's probably the oldest one I've been on. I can't remember her Royal Caribbean name, but she's mid-80s.
Actually, that's another cool ship connection we have. That was the first ship I ever sailed on. In 2001, wow. Yeah. And she was operating at that time, I believe it was as the Sunbird, and her original mm-hmm. name was Song of America.
Ah, I see. Oh, a lovely ship. But it was just so funny to see, you know, it's got the bar around the funnel that we're very used to on modern cruise ships, but it was all just a bit up and down and very, very, very shaky up there. It was really fun.
Yeah, she's an old one now, so I'm happy to see that she's still kicking. I'm actually trying to get on board her to do a cruise review, kind of a throwback, because, well, I mean, I was 6 years old when I went on that ship for the first time.
Yeah.
So that brings me to my next question. What is the newest ship that you've ever sailed?
Okay, so I mean, I've done a couple of, you know, when new ships come out, the couple of days press cruises, like I did Norwegian Encore and MSC Virtuosa, ones like that. The shutdown kind of happened, didn't it? And since then, I have not been on any brand new cruise ships because I've been playing catch up with all of these cruises that I planned. I had such great ideas. For example, I booked a British Isles cruise last summer because I thought when cruising restarts, it's going to be British Isles cruises. I'll play it safe. And they cancelled my British Isles cruise to make way for British Isles cruises. And I was like, I was so close. So now I'm going around the UK again, which I've done quite a bit in the last year. But I've been on, you know, Sky Princess. I don't know which one's the newest, though. I'd have to look at a list, I think.
I've never done a new build. I'd love to sail on a new build. The newest ship that I've ever sailed on post it coming out was Viking Octantis, and that review is coming out pretty soon as well.
Yeah, oh, nice and shiny and new. Yes, pretty nice.
Very new. Very new to the point where crew were still kind of like, where do we? Yeah. Don't know. Like, and I love that. I thought that was really raw. And now I'll share my bit on this after, but okay. I wanted to know, what is the most embarrassing thing to ever happen to you while you're traveling?
Okay, well, so what could have been embarrassing but actually wasn't? Can we go with that first?
Okay.
Then I'll do one that's more embarrassing. But I did the skydiving thing on Royal Caribbean, and I psyched myself up for this for days. If they'd said that it was broken and I couldn't have done it, I would have honestly been relieved. But I knew I couldn't come back and make a YouTube video about this without everybody asking me why I didn't do it. So I did it, and you know what? It was actually okay. Nothing terrible happened. I didn't bang my head into the edges. I've done the flow rider. I didn't fall off the flow rider. And then I thought, I'm never doing this again because I'm ending on a high. It was terrifying. So I think there are places where it potentially could have got embarrassing, but it didn't, thankfully. One thing that was... It was kind of embarrassing because I went on a cruise and there were lots of people there who worked for the cruise line. They knew me, we were meeting up and things. And I had planned this very much to be a work trip and went through the security at the cruise port. They took out my laptop and my stuff and put it in a different tray and I left it there. And I realized straight away, as soon as I got on the ship, so I phoned back to the port and it was just too close. They'd closed up everything and they had to basically hold it there for me for 7 days. So I couldn't really do anything, which was kind of nice. You know, I still had my phone with me, but all these plans and live streams and things I'd promised, I couldn't do anything because I had left it in the... I haven't done that since. I've learned a lesson.
Okay.
It was heartbreaking.
Which port was that? Was it Southampton or something like
that? Yeah, Southampton. And it was okay. I got to my cabin on the ship, opened my bag, and was like, oh, no. Okay. Panic. Ugh.
At least you knew where it was and it wasn't like lost forever. So saving grace. Mm-hmm. Okay. So coming back from this Viking Octantis cruise, it was from Thunder Bay, Ontario to Toronto, which is like an hour-long flight. It's a regional flight, right? So... I had bought quite a bit of Viking-related clothing or port-related clothing, and all my bags were in the expanded mode, but I traveled with just carry-ons. So I get on the plane, I'm walking to my seat, and nothing fits in under the seat. Nothing fits in the overhead bins, and the plane is boarding, and I'm that person. And I'm like, oh my God, I've never made this mistake before. So I just put one of my bags on my chair, and then I walked down to the galley and I said to the flight attendant, I was like, listen, I work in the travel industry. I'm really sorry. I fully admit defeat here. Then, so she managed to find a spot for all my stuff and bless her, they really stuffed it into that poor overhead bin. But the guy next to me was so mean to me the whole flight. He was
really?
Like, yeah, I was like, you packed really stupid. And I was like, listen, man, like, there's no need to be mean.
No, if you acknowledge, you know, you did the right thing there. There's nothing better you could have done. So
Yeah, and I didn't want to check in the bags because traveling through Toronto Pearson Airport right now is a total mess. They were like, well, we could check it in. And I was like, listen, I'm sure you're a great person, but I'm not checking my bag in and getting it at Toronto Pearson because I won't see it again. But
yeah. Oh.
So final question. I know. Oh, thank goodness. The final question for you, what's next? What's coming up on the docket in terms of cruises and how often are you going out these days?
Okay, so as I said, I'm kind of playing catch up at the moment. So a lot of the things I'm doing now are things I booked, you know, I got future cruise credit for, I'm using up things. My next cruise is actually, it's a very interesting one. It's a different one. I'm taking a cycling cruise across Germany on the river. And it's a very small company. They invited me on board. And initially I kind of thought, you know, you've seen the adverts where someone's cycling along by the river. It's all nice and lovely. And I thought it would be like that, okay? And then I get through my daily schedule and it says, every day, 7 days, 35 to 55 kilometers cycled, plus like walking tours and things. So I've been frantically here trying to get used to cycling. I haven't cycled in years. So I figure it'll either go great or it'll go badly, but either way, it'll be a good story. So I'm going to try and do that. But I don't think it's with cycling, like physically I can cycle, but it's a really strange thing to be on a seat for that long. Like it's just an awkward, you know, I'm just trying to get used to that and buying all the, you know, shorts and things. So that's my next one. Then I'm off around Britain again, which is quite nice. We're doing it in summer, so fingers crossed it'll be sunny. And then I finally rebooked a Norwegian cruise. It's been a while since I've done Norwegian, but back to Norwegian, so that would be cool.
Aw, fabulous. Well, Emma, thank you so very much for being here on the show. And if you want to catch Emma on YouTube, which I'm sure you already have, it's Emma Cruises, and I will link to her social media below. Take care, Emma.
Thank you. Bye.
This is Season 2, Episode 8 of Keeping Afloat, produced in Toronto, Canada, copyright Cruise Director Kabir 2022. And now, since you listened all the way to the end, here's a little joke for ya. I bought a guitar the other day, but it doesn't work. I guess I should have known when the seller said no strings attached. If you listen right to the end, go ahead and take a warm shower. You deserve it. Talk to you soon. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to follow me on Instagram. See you in the next one.